Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
This is a season where, like I've already said, we are going to celebrate the light. Jesus, the light of the world. And light is one of those things that you can't have without darkness. If there was no darkness, then we wouldn't really know what light is. And some of us, sometimes, embrace the darkness. Here's an illustration. My lovely wife, Julie, embraces the darkness. Not in an evil way. Ha! Glad we got that cleared up, aren't you? But when it's time for sleep, when it's time to go night-night, it cannot be dark enough. We have a clock radio on the headboard of our bed, like many of you do, that I think was invented by someone who designed lighthouses. Because when that baby is on, it is bright in our room. Brighter than Julie needs to sleep, anyway. So we have a Kleenex box, because we're classy. We have a Kleenex box that we cut up that goes over top of the clock radio so that it can be dark. And once the Kleenex box is over the clock radio and it's relatively dark, then there's this little green light on the cable box. It is smaller than the eraser on a pencil. It is bitty. And some nights, Julie will lay there and say, "The light on the cable box is driving me nuts." And I say, "Close your eyes." And it's dark. And she claims that she can see that thing through her eyelids. That's what she claims. She must be cursed with thin eyelids or something. I don't know. Sometimes it's too dark, right, kids? Can't color today. It's too dark. Sometimes it's too dark in your room and you want a night light just so it can be there. I was going to say something that would frighten all the children right now, and I'm not going to do that. But kids, you have active imaginations. Fill in why you need that light, night light, right? And just that little light will help that kid go to sleep and also provide enough light that they can find their way into your room when they wake up in the middle of the night. Isn't that lovely? Sometimes the last thing we need is dark. When I was a young teenager, for the sake of health and exercise, I think, I took up sleepwalking. Which, I don't remember consciously deciding that I was going to start sleepwalking for my health, but I did. It was very strange days, very strange. My parents were concerned. They still are. But I would walk around in the middle of the night, and I would do strange things and say even stranger things. And then my folks would tell me about it in the morning, and I'd say, "Oh, no, I don't know why I did that." One night I decided to go on a walk. I subconsciously decided to go on a walk. There was no conscious decision behind this. But my brother and I, we grew up in a relatively small home, so my brother and I shared a bedroom in the basement. And our bedroom had two windows in it, and there was a wall that divided the basement, our bedroom, and then another area. And if you were outside of our bedroom into this other area on the other side of the house, there were no windows. I was up for a walk one night, asleep. And I woke up in the dark, in the absolute pitch dark. Pitch dark. So dark that you couldn't see anything. I'm not going to use the tired old metaphor, your hand in front of your face, because it was darker than that. Dark. Darkness that you could breathe. And because I used to be in my bed, and now I'm in the dark, standing here, I had no idea where I was. None. I was walking around with my hands out and I was running into things that were down there, toy box, ping pong table I'm sure was set up at that time, whatever else. I'm bumping into these things, but because I didn't know where I was to begin with, none of these things felt familiar. I was completely disoriented, completely in the dark. And I'm bumping into stuff, and I have no idea where I am. I could have been in my basement. I could have been in the neighbor's basement, for all I knew at that point, which would have been interesting. So I said to my brother Mike, I said, "Mike," no response. I was hoping that I was somewhere where Mike could hear me, so I kept calling him and calling him until finally he says, "What?" I said, "Turn the light on." "What for?" "So I can find my way to bed." "No." I said, "Where are you?" He said, "In bed. Where are you?" "I don't know. Turn the light on." This conversation went on for what felt like about, I don't know, 2 hours. I'm sure it was just seconds, but he was not feeling cooperative because I had just woken him up. Finally, he turned the light on the headboard of his bed. And I saw the light coming under our bedroom door. I had managed to get up, open, and close the door behind me. But this little bit of light came out from under the door, and I stumbled my way back into our room, and he had some things to say to me that weren't nice at all. At all. And I got into bed and went back to sleep. And I still don't know why that happened, unless it was just so I could share that story this morning. But some of you have been there, in the dark, disoriented, not knowing which end is up, and wanting desperately somebody to turn the light on so you can see. We use this whole darkness and light thing in a lot of different ways in our language. Most often, if we're not talking about real dark and real light, we talk about it as ignorance and knowledge. If you're planning a surprise party for someone, you say, "We're going to keep them in the dark until the lights come on and we all yell surprise and he flops over like he'd been shot," right? Or if we're talking about something and we need to bring someone up to speed, we say, "Let me shed a little light on this for you." Sometimes we say that to our teenagers. "Let me shed a little light on this for you." So that's how we talk about light. And throughout the Scripture, darkness is used as a metaphor for other things. It's used as a metaphor for ignorance. Darkness is used as a metaphor for sin and separation from God. And light in Scripture. Light is used for God. I mean, I don't want to talk about light as enlightenment and light as nearness to God. I want to talk about this passage where the Apostle John says, God is light. Darkness, sin, separation from God, ignorance, light. God is light. So as we look at the Scriptures, between the writings of the prophet Malachi at the end of the Old Testament and the events that surrounded the birth of Christ, some of the things that we sang about this morning, there was 400 years of silence, of darkness and silence. So I want to sit here for a few moments in relative darkness and silence to remind us of the darkness of the world apart from God. To remind us of the darkness of our own lives when we are engulfed by the light-sucking, prideful ignorance of our own selfish sin. So the folks sat for 400 years in dark and silence, continuing to worship, continuing to make their best way toward God, but dark and silent. But there's good news. There's always good news. We wouldn't be here this morning if there wasn't good news. Good news is that Jesus is the light of the world. 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote the words that Doug read this morning before he lit the candle. Isaiah looked forward to the mission of Jesus, and he wrote this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." 700 years before Jesus was born. 400 years of quiet. And then, finally, Jesus arrived. And His arrival, there's all kinds of ways that His arrival was announced. You've heard the Christmas story. You can name them. But on that night, His arrival was announced by a huge light. As the angels appeared to the shepherds, and the Scripture says that the glory of the Lord shone around them and down on the shepherds. That is light. The arrival of Christ was announced by this huge light. And the arrival of Jesus was announced by a small light. The small point of light, this star, this pinpoint of light among a million of them, but special and different. If you look at the Christmas cards that you're going to get this year, the Star of Bethlehem, the one over the place where Jesus lay, is huge on these Christmas cards, right? It's like, here He is. I got to think that it wasn't that way. I mean, I got to think that as the Magi watched the skies, and as the Magi studied what the prophet Daniel and others had written, and they saw the things moving, that something special happened to make one point of light among millions. And the reason that the Magi saw the light is that they knew what they were looking for. They knew that sometime something special was going to happen, and they were paying attention. So when that light among millions came together, they knew. So knowing all those things about the light of the angels and the light that the wise men saw, I've got to wonder what Jesus was thinking about when he had grown up. When he stood before the folks, I wonder if he had a sense of irony as well as the fulfillment of prophecy. I wonder if Jesus was kind of grinning inwardly when he looked at the folks and he said, "I am the light of the world." I mean, I wonder if he just let that hang for a while. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I bet he stood there for a minute and just looked at him. And I wonder if Jesus was thinking, "Are you getting this? Will you please get this part? That I am the light of the world?" If darkness and light are opposites, if we've got to have darkness to appreciate light, the question this morning is, are you in the dark? I mean, yeah, it's kind of dark in here. We made it that way on purpose so that we could ask you this. Are you in the dark? Are you ignorant of the transforming love of God? Has your selfish sin blinded you and put you to where I was when I was sleepwalking that night? Confused, disoriented, lost, wondering, how did things get this way? And are you desperately begging for someone to turn on the light? God turned on the light. God turned on the light, and the light's name is Jesus. And so I want to pray together to Jesus, who is the light. Will you pray with me? God, we are lost without you. Without the light of the world and the light of life, we are lost. And God, we know that it is the stuff that we do, sometimes the stuff that we allow, that puts us in the dark. So God, this morning, we recognize those things that put us that way. And we repent of them. God, we want to turn our back on the dark and look to the light. So I ask that you would forgive me. Forgive us of those things that we do that separate us from you and put us in darkness. And God, I know that you are able to forgive because the light of the world said that he was here to forgive. So I ask for mercy as you forgive us, that you would withhold the punishment that we deserve, that you would give us light. And God, I beg your grace. I beg that you would give us that forgiveness, give us those things that we need so desperately that we do not deserve. And I thank you. I thank you that the light of the world is Jesus and that his mission is complete and carried out in us. In your name we pray, amen. So on this first day of Advent, we remember and we celebrate the light. The light that God shines in the darkness. The light that God shines in our darkness. And we could sit back at this point and say, it's Christmas time. Shine on, Jesus. Go. Just, you know, do the light thing, Jesus. You know, we're looking forward to the 25th of December, and it'll be great, and you just go for it, Jesus. But Jesus, the light of the world, the one who I think had to stand before the folks with this wry grin on his face when he said, I am the light of the world. That Jesus, the light of the world, looked at the folks and said, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute. Is it him or us? Because how can the light of the world look at us and say, you are the light of the world? Either he's the light of the world or we're the light of the world. And the answer is yes. Jesus is the light of the world. And the answer is he wasn't kidding when he looked at the folks and said, you are the light of the world. I don't think it was a joke. Because if you read John, the Gospel of John especially, chapters 13 through 17, it was all about I in you and you in me. It's both and. That if you are close to me, then I will be close to you and this thing will happen. The light of the world is still shining. It's not to us to sit back and say, shine on, light of the world, because I'm looking at the light of the world. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at people who walked in darkness and have seen a great light. I'm looking at people who follow Jesus and have the light of life. We know there's still darkness in the world. But Jesus is the light. And so are we. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tried to bring this all together. When he said, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ Jesus. God, who brought the light, makes his light shine in us so that we can see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So it's not up to us this Christmas season to sit back and say, shine on, Jesus. Christmas season, light of the world. Light of the world. I could list a whole bunch of specific ways that the light of the world that's in us can shine this Christmas season. And I'd miss most of them. I don't know how it's going to work. But here's an Advent challenge that I want to put before all of us. We light stuff up at Christmas, don't we? I mean, folks came yesterday and put up these trees and they put up the wreaths and they're beautiful. And then they get lit and they're really beautiful. We like lights at Christmas. Brenna's home for Thanksgiving holiday. Guess what happened yesterday at our house? All the lights came out. The tree went up, got plugged in, boom. Outside of the house, lights. I left for a while last night and I was coming home and our house is just twinkly. I can see lights coming out from the front window and it just looks great. And I drive down the road, I think like the day after Halloween, I'm driving down the road and I see lights on bushes and lights on trees and we just dig lights at Christmas. And I'm not sure why. I didn't take the time to do some kind of internet search, which would have come up with the truth, I'm certain, about why we do this whole light thing at Christmas. We probably started it because Jesus is the light of the world. And somehow, we went from that to little lit up reindeers in the yard. I don't know. We don't have lit up reindeers in our yard. And if you do, that's really nice. I went to church and he preached against lit up reindeers. That was cool. This season, when you're driving around and you're looking at the pretty houses, when you're looking at the houses that have the lights on the eaves, when you look through someone's front window and you see the Christmas tree all lit up, I want you to think this, if you can. When you see those lights, just think this. Jesus is the light of the world. When you're driving down the road and the kids in the back seat go, "Ooh, look at that house." And they do say that, right? Say this to your kids. Jesus is the light of the world. When you're coming up your street and you see the wreath on your front door with the little twinklies all around it, think this. Jesus is the light of the world. And after you think, Jesus is the light of the world, I hope this thought comes to your head. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. He said so. The light of the world said so. That we are the light of the world. And then, if you see the beautiful lights and you think Jesus is the light of the world and you think we are the light of the world, will you follow it with this prayer? Lord, let your light shine this Christmas. I don't know how God's light is going to shine through you this Christmas. I don't know if it's going to be at family gatherings or if it's going to be at office parties or if it's going to be in the shopping mall. Oh. But I know that if Jesus is the light of the world and we are the light of the world and we pray, Lord, let your light shine this Christmas, that prayer will be answered in glorious ways. That this glory, God's glory, the glory that is displayed in the face of Christ Jesus, will happen in us, through us, among us, because Jesus is the light of the world. This is the part. This is the part of the morning when I need to hear you say something. I'm just going to ask you a question. Is Jesus the light of the world? The world is in darkness. The world is a confusing and sometimes scary place. That's why we have night lights. Is Jesus the light of the world?
Yes.
Are you the light of the world?
Yes.
A little more difficult to answer, isn't it?
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.